Good morning, Fawn.
Good morning, Flapjack.
Rise and shine.
Well, something rose.
Yeah, it was that morning wood, because we both just woke up. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of
Flapping and Fawning.
I don't have hemorrhoids. I have themroids. Flapjack.
Toes in your mouth? Toes in your mouth. Toes in your mouth? You've got toes in your mouth. Fawn.
What? More like George saying toes.
Have you seen that he's been doing cameos?
Yes, I have. 200 a pop. I need to
I thought they were only $20 a pop.
No, last I heard it was 200. Maybe I'm wrong.
I went the other day and they were 20 bucks.
Oh, so he's a cheap bitch now that he's not in Congress anymore.
I went the other day and they were 20 bucks. And like, if I need George Santos to get out of politics and just be on reality television.
Yeah. I have complicated feelings because I want to be like, yo, I love this dude. He's just a meme, but also,
right? I don't want to give him money.
He fucked up with the country, you know.
Like I don't want to give him money to pay his legal fees, but also at the same time, I want one of those cameos.
Yeah, I feel that
because people are getting him to say unhinged shit. Like there was one where he was congratulating somebody for coming out to their family as a furry, and was like talking about their fursona, which was like a platypus and a beaver and a platypus, and he was saying a beef puss or
oh my god, really?
Yeah, people are getting him to say,
where are you seeing this if you're not on social media? I haven't even seen this. Oh, that TikTok, that's the one I'm not on. So I mean, I have a profile, but I just never use it.
And when I say I see them, it's usually Mark is on TikTok. And then I hear them and I'm like, let me see that.
Pass the phone. Yeah, George Santos, that is absolutely wild.
The George Santos cameos, I live for watching them.
I got accepted to Cameo and I really need to get on it. Like yeah, I haven't done it.
That's incredible.
But I don't know what it took for me to get on, but I finally got the email that I got accepted like during the summer, and I haven't done anything with it yet.
I took that IMDb credit.
Well, I didn't have it then.
Oh.
I know. Also, did you know that in order to keep a picture on that, you have on IMDb, you have to like pay like $100 a year?
That's not terrible.
Well, yeah.
But that is a lot.
But still, for it just to basically just be this webpage that lives on, that's basically like a wiki page, yeah. You know? And I did pay it. And the reason I did is because I will be having some credits come up soon that
yeah.
I want to be able to like update that with. So I don't know.
Flapjack for season 6 of Dragula confirmed.
Yo. Oh my God. Well, there's all these auditions open right now. And I was shocked that Dragula opened because this is earlier than normal, right?
Because they got renewed earlier than normal.
Mm.
Because what they want to do, I actually did listen to the podcast. And I had forgotten everything from the podcast until we brought this up. is they got renewed earlier, but they want the show to come out so you can watch it during October. So they're getting everything started even sooner this year.
I think that makes sense. I kind of don't like how it falls into like the Christmas season.
And
it starts to feel a little like weird. Like I love that it premieres on Halloween night. That always feels right. But I think a build up to Halloween would be even better.
It's one of those things that's kind of just been out of their control between like when things get renewed plus tours. When is it time to film? Like having time to film, tour, edit, and all of that stuff. It's just kind of been like that's just where it's kind of had to lie, but now they're gonna be able to pump that up a few weeks ahead.
I have to say I have been way more excited for what's going on with Dragula than any other show. You know
this has been like a top tier season.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe they should take a campy gal.
Oh my God.
Why not? What? That'd be fun.
Well, we already said that it was Opal that was supposed to be on this season.
It was. It is supposed to be Opal.
The Muppet Queen of Albany.
Oh, There's bugs. I hate bugs.
Well, did you see the Drag Race season 16 cast got announced?
Yes.
Any standouts for you? I mean, I don't want to get too into it, but I do want to mention it.
I feel like it's obvious who I like.
Who?
Dawn.
Oh yeah, Dawn is fierce.
Dawn is my like favorite.
I like Dawn. I'm struggling like the to quirky remember every, girls.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you're watching Canada, but Denim on Canada is my favorite.
See, what did I say? The algorithm will bring me the people I need to know about. And Denim has appeared on my algorithm several times. So, yes, I do like Denim. I even shared that with Green, one of my drag daughters. And because I thought Green would really like that sunglass look,
yeah.
You know, that Denim did.
And then someone did it
on 16, yeah. Yeah. And I really like her, too. I think she's going to be a really interesting twist.
I think she'll be great because her interviews were Nymphia.
Nymphia Wind, yes.
And Nymphia is the Japanese name for Sylveon.
Oh, really?
And I hadn't put that together until she said... Nymphia is the fairy type evolution of Eevee. And I was like, wait, what? My nerdy Sylvia. Ass does know that is the Japanese name for Sylveon.
There's a lot of people I'm really excited about on the season.
There's a lot that I'm also not excited about.
Not excited about?
Yeah.
Well, there was one that has had some accusations come out against her.
Yeah.
And I have to say, but like before I found out about that, I was really excited for her in particular. Yeah. I was laughing at everything she said, and I'm just like, why do these comedy queens always have to have these allegations against them? It's like the ones I always want to love.
Except I wouldn't even say that she was like the biggest comedy queen of the...
I just really liked her style of humor, but I mean,
the very dry kind of humor. Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping it doesn't seem quite as cut and dry as previous allegations is what we've seen. And but I don't know. I
there is video of it though.
Oh really? And honestly, I'm speaking out of my ass. I really don't know much about it other than that there are allegations. So I hate that's going on. Who was it? Sapphira Crystal. I really like her.
Sapphira Crystal.
Crystal. Oh, excuse me. Because yes, I see the
based
uptick.
On the champagne.
Oh yeah.
It was her favorite Crystal. Champagne whenever she was before she was sober.
Mm, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I really like her vibe. Like she came in that gorgeous like blue look, and I was like, I don't know, I really like it. I want to wear it.
The sapphire blue look.
Mm-hmm. So okay, well, I'm really excited for the season, and I'm sure I'll be watching, and we'll keep up with it one way or another over on this podcast.
Did you see Tsunami's?
The pantaloons
pants.
I did.
Those were incredible. There were some really good looks, and there were some okay looks. There were a lot of these looks that felt. Drag. And just drag.
Drag.
And then some of these looks had a lot of personality.
Exactly. And I hope that is what we get this season. I hope that the conceptual creative gals are the ones that are appreciated.
Which, granted, also at the same time, at a certain point, it's hard to be creative when so much has been put out there. There's so much and so much and so much. It becomes harder and harder to show your specific, unique personality without doing something that's been done before.
I have to say, I think that's fair. But then on this season of Dragula, I have felt like, wow, like there really is so much shit out there. You really just need to be creative. Like I'm talking about Orgotic. Like,
yeah.
And I'm not meaning to jump ahead, but the whole like trading skin for your sex thing, like what the fuck? Like that like blew my mind. It was like, oh my God, like I never would have thought of that. And it made me like really rethink the way that I come up with concepts and my inspiration. So anyways, I think we should jump into Dragula. You think?
Slay.
Now, obviously at the top of each episode, we read a 5-star review. We don't have one of those this week. So if you want to head on over to our Facebook page or Apple Podcasts and write a 5-star review for us, we will read it from our mouth holes
to your ear holes
at the top of our next episode. And we also do have a few plugs.
On the second Wednesday of every month, it is Drag Bingo at High Wire Brewing. And that is at 7:30. It's free to play bingo.
So fun.
This one will be this coming Wednesday if you are listening to this when it releases.
Mm-hmm. December 13th.
December 13th. I will be taking this month off, so it will be Flapjack and Wamona J. Wiles.
Yes. That is my other drag daughter. So
Nepo baby.
Yes, my Nepo baby is excited to have her jumping on the on Drag Bingo with us to fill in for Fawn. And one of the reasons I asked her to do it is because we are actually both in Seven Santas together right now at Birmingham Festival Theater. That is partially why my voice sounds a little different today, because I am kind of hoarse from doing Tech Week.
Horse?
Yeah, ha, horse. And because let's just say my character screams a lot. And
how is that outside of the normal for you?
Shut up. Only in bed, Fawn. And so, yeah, so I'm just, two more days, then I can go on a little vocal rest. And I also wanted to say, like, with Seven Santas, I've been really enjoying getting to step outside of my normal zone and play with my makeup a lot. Like, I'm doing a very King-inspired look.
Oh, I saw pictures, and I thought you just looked the same.
Oh, yeah, it looks exactly the same. Yeah, basically. I did have someone, I had to have an educational moment, because they were like, so, what the phrase was, if you're already a man, why are you doing masculine makeup? And I really had to, like, be like, oh, okay, let's go back to, like, gender 101 and, like, and roll it back. But yeah,
that's wild.
It was, but I think it was good. Like, I mean, this is part of why I like to do these things and, like, with community theater, because it gives a opportunity for education, you know, and a conversation.
I need you to teach me how you made that outfit, though.
Oh,
that collar.
Oh, you like my collar?
Yeah.
Collar, but I barely know her. Thank you. I'm really pumped about it. So, yes, please come see it. I am very, very proud of that outfit. It runs from December 8th through December 17th, and tickets are available at bftonline.org. We just finished opening night, so hopefully I'll be able to get off this episode today, so you have 5 more chances to see it.
And speaking of Birmingham Festival Theater, we are having Miss Magic City Comedy Queen at Birmingham Festival Theater on January 14th. Which is Sunday, the Sunday of Martin Luther King weekend.
Yes.
As I just dropped my vape.
So if you come from out of town, you should have the next day off to travel home.
Registration has filled, so we have 8 beautiful, wonderful, fabulous contestants for you. You can get your tickets online for that, though, at bftonline.org. You can go ahead and reserve your seating, get them while you can. This is gonna sell like hotcakes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also, you can find all of the links that we've discussed in the episode description of this episode, as well as a link to my merch store where you can get some flapping and fawning merch. All right, let's head into Dragula.
And just as a reminder for our fantasy fag rosters, we're starting out this episode. I have Blackberry, Throb Zombie with 1 win, Orcotic with 1 win, and Jarvis and Anaphylactic are both deceased. And Flap has Fantasia.
Do you want a Fantasia?
Fantasia with a win, JK with a win, Neo Hulu with a win, and Cynthia Doll without a win.
And why are you twisting the knife on Cynthia? You could have just said Cynthia Doll.
And then Satana and Onyx on Dix have both
gone to pasture. Unfortunately. Now, this episode opens back in the catacombs with the Boulets. They mention that a drag super monster must also be able to conquer deep space. And then they started quoting the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I knew you would, like, live for this shit.
I did. And I was like, fuck, we should have just waited 2 weeks to have a Rocky Horror Minute on. I did live for it. But and I'm excited to talk to you about the judging of this episode. Because I feel like...
Yeah.
I feel like it's a little strange based on what they were expecting.
Well, they also didn't get what they were expecting.
I know. We'll get there. So in the lab, everyone seems to think that Neo is returning and that Anna was exterminated. And when Neo walks in, Orc hugs her and Fantasia says she thinks they are definitely fucking. Thoughts?
Yeah, they definitely are.
Same.
Why not?
When they had that whole orgasm moment later on, they were just like,
oh my God.
They should have done the impressions of each other with that.
Right.
The tide turns and people shift from dogging on Anna, talking about how she's definitely not coming back, to dogging on JK once again. This really kind of bummed me out. It was like, y'all,
it's always
just quit always beating this JK. Dead horse. Yeah. And there was something that wasn't shown in this episode, right? Like from the podcast, it sounded like they were, with the behind the scenes tea, it sounded like they were talking about someone had a big reaction or a big meltdown during the episode.
Yeah.
And they opted not to film it filmed it, but they didn't include it because they just said it was harmful to that person's character.
Yeah. Not everything has to be shown on TV.
I wondered if it was JK because they seemed really off this episode to me.
Yeah.
Did you feel similarly?
Yeah. I will say JK is a real cutie out of drag, though.
They are, honestly. And I really like them, and they really make you root for them, you know? And I hated seeing people dog on them, and I don't know.
They're the, like, classic underdog.
They are. And I hope that they get a chance at redemption at some point.
Yeah.
You know? Then we get the age-old question where people start asking who they want to see leave the competition. And the purpose of this is only to cause drama. Who would you say? Who would you want to see leave the competition if you were in this top seven?
Bitch, I'd be saying Neo or Orc because they're the ones that have been in doing the best.
Yeah, me too. I don't see any point in being like, well, you over there who doesn't have or a Throb. Win.
Neo, Orc, or Throb are the ones that I would say.
Very fair. Cynthia, and I honestly, I would be in the same. It's like whoever's the top. I mean, for Camp Wanakiki, I was always thinking, when are we going to get rid of this Glenica bitch? Like, and then
I'm surprised you weren't saying that about Hillary because y'all tried with taking her knee out. But
no, we all, I loved Hillary.
y'all tried taking her knee out and she still didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, she just sat. She said, I can't she go said, on a hike now. I hurt my leg. It'd be an ADA violation if you made me take a hike with this broken leg. So folks start saying who they want to have taken out of the competition. Cynthia says JK. Throb also says JK, particularly because they eliminated Jarvis. And then later on, we see this conversation between JK and Throb take place. I was curious what your thoughts were on that, where JK was saying like, oh, I was so hurt that you said that because you were my ally in the beginning of the competition.
I have mixed feelings.
Same.
Because like JK is trying to have a vulnerable and like real moment because it is reality television.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, it is a competition.
Yeah.
So like JK is kind of in reality TV world and Throb's in like competition world. And they're not even like meeting in the middle with that.
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit uncomfortable to watch. But it's like also, I'm glad to see Throb fighting, especially after that shrinking down after getting that first win.
Same. I like the way you explained that because I feel like we have had this big shift in Throb where they seem to be more vulnerable in the first few episodes. And now it's like, I'm here to win. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting shift in that character. And again, I think you're right in that. I like how you phrased it because it's like no one is necessarily wrong in that conversation.
Right.
It's just
they're approaching it from different viewpoints.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that was said was Orc said JK for who they wanted to have eliminated. And I thought that the quote that they said was just really brutal. I want to be on the top with the best ones. And I think you are taking the spot of so many talented people. Ooh, thoughts?
I think that's uncalled for.
Yeah.
However, also at the same time, English is Orc's second language. So I don't know that Orc always is aware of how brutal things are.
Being
come across
potentially
I think sometimes Orc does know, but I also think there are probably times that Orc doesn't know how brutal it's coming across.
I think there may be that doubt there, but also I think that they had a chance to like clarify because JK was like, excuse me, what, you can't say that to me, and then they were like, I already did.
Well,
like,
to me the first part sounded brutal, but then like the second part sounded like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Then we get to the video message. Someone finally noticed that they're getting bloodier.
I know.
But,
well, they actually did get bloodier this week, too.
They did. And it was a lot of blood.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, is this making up for two kills? Or is it just, like, because they had one, like, in-person kill? Who knows?
Is it because they only, like, stabbed Anna once? They're like, well, she was a squirter.
Yeah. Squirt her, but I barely know her. And they started the video message by quoting Rocky Horror again. And the next challenge, they say, is going to be Pleasure Planet X, where the competitors must transform themselves into alien sex workers. They must also write a script and sell their services to the Boulets on the main stage. So acting and writing skills will also be judged. How do you think you would do with this challenge?
I think I'd be fine with this challenge. My biggest thing would be, I know in the creation process of this challenge, I would be in my head because I wouldn't want to be, I would want to make something that looks believable, but also like fun and sexy.
Yeah.
Because like, I wouldn't want, and when I say believable, I mean, I wouldn't want it just to be like doing a fabric bodysuit.
Yeah.
That's like a morph suit.
Yeah.
Type of situation. That's not what I would want for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I would probably want some kind of like different skin color, like a fun, like crazy kooky color that an alien might be.
Yeah, it looked like something out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this one has a lot of complicated elements to it that you have to think about. Like, on one side, it's like a space theme, which I think has it's a fun challenge, but it's got a lot of difficult aspects because you really have to think about the details
with
yeah
outer space, and then you also have to work in this sex work
mm-hmm.
kind of theming to it. On top of then you also have to do a little like monologue, act out a monologue.
Yeah,
that you're writing
60-second sextraterrestrial.
I know.
I was excited for it nonetheless because it wasn't me doing it, but I was like, this is a tough one. In the lab, they go on to react to finding out, you know, everyone seems to be excited about the Pleasure Planet X
yeah.
theme. And they also do some impersonations and they give their best orgasm sound. So did anyone stick out to you for the impersonations? With the impersonations, I did want to say I my favorite one was JK of Fantasia's because I like was JK's of Fantasia.
Oh, I forgot about all those because JK put
the hands in yeah. their shirt to imitate the boobs. And then like, but I also knew exactly who they were based on what they were saying, you know?
Right.
So that was my favorite. Other ones I was like, I'm not sure who that is exactly, but JK's was perfect.
For the orgasms, all of them were bad until Fantasia happened.
Well, show us your orgasm.
And then we had JK.
Not you just ignoring that.
Giving the most realistic one.
You said suddenly my headphones are off.
Jay's talking head one was so good though.
What, show us your orgasm, Vaughn.
I'm a very quiet comer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Comer, but I barely know her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you gotta really get me going for me to be loud.
Oh.
Unless like I know the
I expected you to be like oh like all the time, you know. Yeah, exactly. No, just making Waluigi sounds. For me, I always try to say their name. I feel like that gets people going a lot, but it's also gotten me in breather. Trouble because I have said the wrong name too many times to count.
I'm just a very heavy breather. I'm a very heavy breather.
Good to know. Moving on. Actually, I think that's it. So...
Hey, y'all. This is Twat Weiland from DIY Productions, a proud sponsor of Miss Magic City Comedy Queen. I'm here to tell you about our next big event as we get ready to ring in the new year. 2023 is almost over, and we're excited to invite you to the New Year's Eve Drag Night at the Nick. We've got not one, but two shows with a stunning lineup of performers. Make Drag Night at the Nick your last show of 2023 and your first show of 2024. In addition to the sickening performances, we'll have a photo booth, giveaways, drink specials, and a champagne toast to help you start your new year in style. Get your tickets now at tiny.cc/NYE_dragnight. That's tiny.cc/NYE_dragnight. Space is limited, so act fast. It's never too early for your New Year's resolution, so make yours Drag Night at the Nick.
And we are back.
Back.
In time.
Time.
For the floor
for
show.
Floor show.
We're going to do the time warp.
Speaking of the time warp, the Boulets came out in Rocky Horror inspired looks. I was really excited for these because these are my favorite costumes from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Did you recognize them right away?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my, okay, fine.
I am a Rocky Horror enjoyer, but I am not a Rocky Horror stan.
Well, I'm a regular Frankie fan.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like Rocky Horror, but I've only seen it like a handful of times.
That's so upsetting.
Well, I had never seen it until I was like 23.
Wow. That's, you know, honestly, Rocky Horror, I think people get confused
and you know,
as to why
I'm only 22.
Oh yeah, so young. I think people get confused as to why I love it as much as I do, because there's like a lot of queer content out there, but it was truly like one of the only times I ever was like, oh my god, I want to be that person in a movie. Yeah. And I would used to like hide in my very conservative household, like watching it on my laptop, imitating Frank. And then when I finally, like, the only time I ever like snuck into something where I was like underage was the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like,
that's wild.
I was like, I have to be in with all these freaks, and that's where I belong.
That's iconic, though.
Yeah. So I don't know. It has a very special place in my heart.
I will say, this looks like a better version of Monet's design challenge from season 10. The one where she did the like
you're really
the apocalypse
me.
With the it was the red quilted leather.
I know what you're talking about. Yes,
it was very this.
Yeah, I see that for sure. I mean,
wonder if that might have been her inspiration.
I doubt it. I think that she would have incorporated some black or probably some gold. I don't know. I'm not sure what I didn't see that episode, so I'm not sure exactly what the details of the challenge was. But I know that
I saw it. I even saw an edit. Like, I said it when they came out, and then last night on Instagram I saw somebody had cropped her, had like cut her out and put her in between the two Boulets.
I mean,
she was wearing maybe a blonde wig and everything.
So yeah, with this look, I mean, this is from the closing scene when they are wearing the Transylvanian armor at the end. And I will say, I like what the Boulets did with it, because I feel like it took it to a more draggy level. The actual costumes, I believe, they have more of like a slit down the side. And it's one of the...
What'd you call me?
You heard me, and I'd say it again. And it was one of the only times where you see like riffraff in like a panty. And I always was like, ooh, side panty.
Did
like, ooh, riffraff.
Panty raid.
Oh, not tonight.
You know, they've taken the episode of SpongeBob down, I think.
What? Panty raid? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They stopped airing it because it was inappropriate for children. And honestly, it probably is. But it's a core memory.
Listen, kids these days are too fucking sensitive. The boy has to learn. Anyways, here at Flapping and Fawning, we have a very sophisticated system for rating whether we like or dislike these looks. If we like it, it's a...
Fawn.
If we don't like it, it's a...
Flop.
And if it's the best thing we've ever seen, it's a...
Fetch.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
And for me, I know I have a very a huge love for these, but if I could give it one critique, they have these very iconic, like in the actual Rocky Horror Picture Show, they have the these very iconic wigs that they're wearing.
Wigs?
And wigs, that's right. We wear wigs in drag sometimes. And one of my favorite callbacks
is... Do you wear wig?
No.
Will you wear a wig?
It's on my...
Have you worn
sometime?
Wig?
Maybe.
Do you know what I'm referencing?
Yeah. I just didn't pick up on it fast enough. Anyways, but they my favorite callback of the whole Rocky Horror Picture Show is when they show up and you see like just their silhouettes and you see their space costumes and their hair, and it's shaped kind of like an ice cream cone and a banana. And so I always yell, costumes by Dragon Ball Z, hair by Dairy Queen.
Oh my god.
And so I wish that they had drawn a little more inspiration from that, but if they did, it would be a fetch. But for now, it's just gonna be a fawn for me.
It's a fawn for me as well.
And we have our two guest judges, David Dasmalchian, who's an actor, writer, and horror icon, who has also guest judged before.
Yes.
And we also had coming
and
to
Dracula. And he was dressed very Welcome to the Black Parade.
It was very Welcome to the Black Parade. Yeah. And then also the other guest judge was, it was her first time joining us in Dracula. She is the actor and star of the Terrifier series, Lauren Lavera.
I have not seen Terrifier, but now I want to watch because of her.
She, first of all, what she wore is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, not crazy about the leggings, but like,
yeah, for also she's like
sitting behind
a table.
I mean, what a cool
the
look.
Makeup
like,
the makeup is stunning. The top is stunning.
She is just beautiful. Holy hell. And the shoes too. She didn't, if she had just pulled those leggings together, it'd be a fetch for me, but it's a fun. I mean, not that we rate our guest judges, but
yeah, that's a fun.
All right.
I think the shoes are just a pleaser boot.
Oh yeah. Well, they match the interesting corset. Honestly, I feel like it didn't get enough appreciation on the show. Like, they should have talked about that. Like, that is cool. Like, it's got like these spiky elements on the arm. It looks like a very custom made corset top something.
Yeah.
Anyways, now before we get into this floor show, I want to ask you how you are planning to flop and fawn this. Is it?
I'm doing it based on the looks, just like we did with the lip syncing.
Cool. That's what I think we should do as well. I want to talk about the look, and then we can talk about the skit after. Because, opinions.
And our first person up for the floor show, victim to once again on this season, another person fallen victim to pointing out a reference that it can seem like and not being able to not see it when that wasn't the reference at all. Throb Zombie as Bowser.
Yeah.
I can't unsee it. I didn't see it at all.
But TBH, I don't have a problem with it. Honestly, I think with any kind of alien thing where you like choose like a neon kind of skin tone and then like pair it with a different color hair, you're gonna have a character that matches that, you know? So I don't know how fair it is to do that to everyone,
right?
You know, and even with the thing one thing two thing, like I recognize, like, yes, that is the color scheme for that, but that doesn't mean that I think it looks like thing one thing two, you know. And then same with this, like, I understand that, yeah, this is the same color scheme as Bowser, but I see something very different here. And in fact, this is one of my favorite looks of the week.
It's incredible. I will say, I hope this is our worst floor show of the season.
Yeah, fair. But honestly, there were a lot of things I really liked about it. So if it's the worst, then we're in good shape.
This one is probably overall my least favorite.
Really?
Of the season so far.
I enjoyed a lot of it. I mean, I did appreciate the representation Throb had when they bent over and showed us their hole. I was like, oh, I'm looking in a mirror. I thought that they had this really cool painted on, or it's like an airbrushed bodysuit that has like the abs and stuff on
it. This is the closest we've seen to their promo look.
Yes. But I think this was executed more successfully, to be honest.
Yeah. There's just more to it.
Mm-hmm. And I know they had the one issue with the gag of the gun, but going to that detail of like designing the dollars for your space cash is really cool to me. So it is. Ooh, I think I'm going to give it a fawn.
It's a fawn.
It's me. A fawn.
I do like the like multiple nipples with the like little chain connecting
though. Same. And the added rhinestones of it. It was really cool. And once again, Throb has just a flawless paint. So well done, Throb. Next to the stage, we have JK. I feel like I've been talking a lot. I'm going to pass it over to you.
And JK is a mouthy bitch. A very
over and over and over
mouthy again. Bitch. Just mouths everywhere, up and down the legs, on the arms, on the stomach, everywhere, a little green goblin mouthy bitch. JK's makeup always looks good.
Always stellar.
I don't love the little headpiece. The headpiece is a little crafty. The paint job on the headpiece is a little crafty. I enjoy the look for a bar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
if someone did this at one of our local shows, I would be living for it.
Or if there was like a more interesting outfit on top of this base bodysuit, because I think the mouths are very, very, very impressive. The mouths all over it, very impressive. But that's kind of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I liked the shoes and I liked the makeup, and I think that's about it for me. Because I felt like they took an extra detail with the shoes I should have taken a screenshot of it. Sorry, I don't have a better reference photo for you there. But, you know, they have like their little alien toes poking out. I thought that was a cool detail.
Yeah.
But really, it just doesn't feel like it's at the level of other looks that we're seeing. And even for JK, this is not as good as other looks that we've seen from them.
I appreciate the distressing that is done to the clothing. Like, I appreciate that it's just not like off the rack. It's like off the rack things, but there's still something done to it.
Yeah.
But it just still needs more.
It really does. So unfortunately for me, this is going to be a flop.
Same.
Sorry, JK. And next up, we have another green alien in a crop top and booty jean shorts. Cynthia Dahl.
This is also a flop.
Yeah, it's a flop for me as well. And I do want to say, like, this reminded me a lot of my Camp Wanakiki.
I thought so as well.
But I would have flopped that to this day. I don't stand by that look. And Hillary even tagged me on Instagram and was like, OMG, a flapjack's on Dracula. I like the idea of this, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree.
I also don't think I like the concept very much. Whereas
I love JK's concept. I feel like this concept is a little like...
Yeah, I think JK's concept is stronger.
I think JK probably, in my opinion, had one of the stronger concepts of the week. Maybe not the strongest.
But the execution just wasn't up to that right. level. Yeah...
The shoes are cool.
I think that the shoes, there really are a lot of comparisons between JK and Cynthia for this episode, parallels. I mean,
t-shirts and booty denim Daisy Duke,
and they designed the shoes to match. I don't know. I really didn't like this, and there were some reveals that she had that we only saw later on. Such as
like taking the wig off,
to reveal the brain, and then also we saw her tits in a like her green alien tits in like a little montage at the end.
And, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, and I was like, why was this all we got? You know, it just
maybe that's why she was safe and not bottom.
Maybe. So yeah, it's a flop for me.
Yeah,
I wish that this concept had just taken us somewhere else. Next up, we have Orgotic. What'd you think?
Orc comes out as someone who is going to have sex with you to take your flesh. All these, like, tentacle-type things. I don't know. It gives very tentacle porn, but also a little crafty. But also, like, I'm fine with it being a little crafty if it's supposed to be flesh. Like, it's not going to look clean if it's supposed to be flesh. You know what I mean?
I do.
I really love the, like, sex doll face moment with the big lips
yeah.
and messiness of it. Like, the intentional, like, messy. Because you can tell the face is intentionally messy.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate intentionally messy. I will say, I do kind of agree with what the Boulay said about, like, maybe more skin showing. The black bodysuit underneath it may not have been the best choice.
Yeah, I agree. I keep going back and forth on this one because
the boots are fucking incredible.
I think I like it, but and I love the concept.
But also, like, I think it's one of those that it's hard because Orc always kind of seems a little bit alien.
Yeah. So how do you make it more alien? And when they said that it wasn't space enough, to be honest, when they first walked out, are you familiar with the game Dead Space?
No.
Okay, so Dead Space is this horror video game where people, like, there's like I can't remember exactly what happens, but basically something infects folks and they transform into these, like, alien monsters, right?
Iconic.
And they look a lot like Orcs Drag. but I honestly thought they were referencing Dead Space here. They look like this.
Oh.
And so I immediately was taken to a space arena for it. So I didn't have an issue with that aspect. I don't know. So it's going to be a fawn minus for me because I don't like I thought that maybe the black was trying to make it like a gimp suit or something that made it sexy. I don't know. So it's a fawn minus.
I'm going to give it the same.
Slay.
And next up, we have BlackBerry as a cyber sex robot.
Yeah. Second she turned the corner, I knew she was going to win.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not the most inventive concept, but it is
the execution
extremely well executed.
Right on the target, yeah.
When she came out, I was like, oh, she's going to be in the top. But when she started pumping them titties, I said she's going to win.
Yeah, exactly. The whole thing was just really, really cool. I don't have much else to say beyond that. It's a metallic look that has like these robotic elements on top of it. And also she's got a gorgeous body here.
And there's so much detail.
Gorgeous shape.
There's so much detail to this look.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes me like it so much. And that's what makes it, I think, this challenge so difficult. Like, you have to get those details right.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with things like robot mechanics or like certain space elements,
yeah,
it's difficult to imitate that in a believable way, and she really nailed it. So I think it's a fetch for me.
I was stop gonna say to the same fetch
happen. It's not going to happen.
Slay. Well done, BlackBerry. Next up, we have Fantasia Royale Mama as a teapot.
When I first saw Fantasia, it made a very strong positive impact. But the more I looked at it, the less I liked it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, honestly, if the headpiece had been like a skin tone.
Yeah, like a cone head kind of thing.
Yeah. and maybe, and honestly, a shiny metallic like spandex would have probably been fine for the outfit itself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To give that like sex hooker rather than this fabric that doesn't read space. If anything, it reads more aquatic to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This, honestly, I think she's kind of suffering from the Melissa B. Fierce issue.
It's
where
just the fabric.
It's like, yeah, where you go and find that drag queen fabric that reads blank, right? Like, right, like with where she did the mermaid thing for the water challenge. It's like same thing here. Like, you just find that drag queen fabric that I guess reads space to you. I honestly could forgive a lot of the look, but the dicks really confused me.
I loved the dick.
Well, I think that I didn't like that she took them off, first of all. I also didn't like that they felt like they were just an afterthought. I wish that it was
if
truly
like this could
built
have been
in
an outfit that she already had, and she just made the headpiece and the penis.
Yeah, I agree. And that's my issue. So I think it's going to be a flop for me because of that.
Same. I like it. Like, if I saw her in a bar in this outfit, I would live.
Yeah, but this is
just not for this challenge.
A different level, a different stage.
And next up, we have Neo. I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't like this look.
That's fine. I knew you wouldn't.
And that's not to say that I dislike. Like, if I do like elements of this. However, as a whole, I don't like this. And this is probably going to be the first. I think this is the first time that I've just like straight up not liked one of her floor shows. There's so much happening.
Yeah.
Coco Chanel said, before you leave in the morning, take one thing off. I think she needs to take 15 things off.
I think she should have taken that tongue out of her mouth. I didn't like that aspect of it. I don't know. To me, it was like that was the element I didn't like.
To me, it's all the rhinestones, all the feathers, all the dollars.
Yeah, there's
all the spiky pieces.
Stuff in rhinestones you can't even read, like on her boob breastplate.
I don't think the
breastplate.
Testicle boobs look good because it just looks like you're wearing a breastplate as a skirt. I don't think the hip titties read as titties. I think they just read as lumps on your titty. I really love the shoes and I really love the leg warmers, but she couldn't walk in the shoe.
Okay, I wanted to ask about this critique because I thought it was very strange that when they weren't there, when the contestants weren't there, the Boulets gave this extremely harsh critique of, don't do it. If you can't walk in these shoes, that's a death sentence. And then they're like, we liked it. It was in your character. I was like, pick a side.
Right.
Like, what? You're the ones directing and having the final say on this, and y'all had this huge contrast in your judgment there. I left this episode feeling very confused, like, as to what.
Personally, I thought she should have been in the bottom.
You really hate Neo.
I don't hate Neo. I hate this look.
On top of, okay, all right. You can feel how you feel. I just think that there are some others that definitely deserve some bottom placements over that. But
here's the thing. I look at this, and when you make an outfit, you should have somewhere for the eye to land. I don't know. I am so visually overstimulated by this look, mm-hmm. and not in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to look at, and it doesn't feel cohesive enough.
For me, I don't like looking at this in a photo. Like, I
didn't like looking at it in video
I
either.
Liked when it was moving. The moving elements of it did something different for me than looking at it, like in a still shot, if that makes sense. Because like the way the feathers moved, I was like, okay, this is kind of interesting. And then she would like bounce. I did like it overall. I thought it was a fun, whimsical approach. One of my biggest qualms, I agree with you about the over editing. I really don't like the way the titty skirt is on her body. It really looks piecemeal to me. But I like the headpiece. I like the dollars.
I don't like the headpiece.
Really? Mm-mm. What's wrong with the headpiece?
I don't know. It just feels out of place with this look.
I don't like the purse.
I do like the purse. I think the purse is fine with the shoes and the leg warmers. I think the purse, the shoes, and the leg warmers all go together. But I don't see how that connects to the rest of the outfit.
Yeah. I think piecemeal is definitely a vibe here. But I did like it overall. Like especially when she was moving in it. But I agree. I think that a lot of editing is needed here, and I liked it overall. So it's gonna be a fawn minus for me.
It's gonna be a flop for me.
Sorry, Neo. Wait. What did you think about the shoe critique? Did you have thoughts? Did I cut you off? Sorry.
Be able to walk in your fucking shoes.
Especially
if you're gonna like say that to work, and then you're gonna say it in like the private critiques, but then be like, but we loved it because it felt very you and your character. No.
Yeah. That's what I mean. And I don't want Neo to get by on things like that. Like,
and it feels like she does. She's always in the top, sometimes in times where I don't think she necessarily belongs in the top. Not even those times saying that she belongs in the bottom, I think she did this time. But there's times that I think she should have been perfectly safe that she's been in the top.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Especially.
And it's not that I'm like trying to discredit her as a front runner, because I think she very much is a front runner in this competition.
It's just thing is, the other competitors didn't bring it as strong this week as they should have. And yeah, no, I agree with you. Like thinking about it, like there's just a lot of errors and no one has a perfect look.
I also don't think it always has to be a top three.
Agreed. Yeah, give one. You also don't even have to have a winner. I was kind of surprised they gave someone a win this week. Based on the way they talked about the judgment. But before we get into that, let's talk about the 60-second Sextraterrestrials. That's what I named it after the 60-second spokeswoman.
Honestly, my favorite was JK.
They did something that's kind of my pet peeve, and so I did not like JK's, which is I'm gonna play a southern accent to sound dumb. And
well, they were
didn't
doing the
appreciate
trucker,
that.
Like truck stop, like
that's great.
Hillbilly, like trucker, truck stop, slut. I lived.
Yeah, I did not. But that is also a pet peeve of mine. I recognize that. A personal thing. Things that stood out to me, I didn't like that Cynthia saved her reveals for like. I thought she should have used them more strongly,
yeah,
or just in a stronger way. I think she could have revealed the tits during this. She could have taken off the brain earlier or something, or should have revealed the brain. I thought Blackberry just was clean and safe, and no one else was, which is why she won.
Because it was like the people that I didn't live for. JK's look, but I liked JK's performance. I really liked Fantasia's performance, but also didn't love her look.
I felt like Fantasia didn't really have much to say. I feel like she walked up and said, like, teapot, and thought that that would get her through.
Yeah.
And it wasn't enough, in my opinion. And then Throb, I thought, did the worst in this, because, like, what was that? They basically just walked up and said, I'm sexy, and then walked away.
I think they were trying to give, like, E-boy ad space. Like, I got what they were going for. Like, you're, like, doing an ad for... It's like you're going to see a hologram ad that's, like, a pop-up that's, like, rent me tonight, kind of, like... I got that energy.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. There was just... When I was trying to make a note for everyone, I didn't... I had a hard time coming up with a note for them.
Yeah.
You know? Like, other people... Blackberry used her titty pumps and would repeat different words. Cynthia revealed something. Orgotic had the skin payment system, which was, like, what the fuck? Neo had a payment system for each set of her titties. I mean, that at least made me laugh, you know? And
for $30,000 a month, you can fuck my hip titties.
You have to, titties that was at so least, much more. It was at least funny in a what the fuck way.
Everything like, was camp. Everything was, everybody went hyper camp with all of it.
And I think something for me that's very refreshing for Neo, and I'm trying to find the right words to phrase this. I feel that frequently in drag reality competitions, we don't see an Asian entertainer who
does well in comedy
and is praised for it, you know. And, but I feel like Neo is just really nailing it, and it's always refreshing to me.
That's like even like a trope on Drag Race is a lot of times the Asian contestants go home on Snatch Game.
Yeah, and so I think that's one reason I really am just loving and rooting for Neo. Like I feel like we have not ever seen someone like her before. So anyways, I'll shut up about my personal biases and love for Neo. Anything else about this floor show before we move into judgment?
I don't think so.
Well, let's hit it, Tuts. And we are back for the judgment. And this was a very confusing and concerning judgment portion, in my opinion. I feel like we got a lot of critiques for things that didn't match what they ultimately scored people on.
Yeah.
I also think that they said, they said that this was not the floor show they were looking for. And based on the podcast, it sounds like they were looking for something more Rocky Horror inspired. Yeah. What were they looking for with this, do you think?
I don't know. I think they wanted more sex, like sexual rather than all hyper camp, because like Rocky Horror is camp, but it's also very sexual.
Well, yeah, but also if you think about Rocky Horror and the costumes that are in it, like it's most of the time it's like a corset and fishnets, you know, like to me that's not even sexy at this point. It's just a costume piece. Like what is What are we going for? And I think if you did really follow that brief, you would have been punished for it, because those are not big looks to draw from, in my opinion. The biggest ones are the ones that the Boulets did. And if it were me, I was like, that's definitely what they're going to wear for this episode. So I'm not going to do
that. You would have worn your three titty look.
Maybe. I mean, it didn't serve Fantasia to have three dicks. And hell, my three titties would have been out-tittied by Neo. So, like, I guess I'm just really confused as to what the Boulets were going for. And it sounds like, in my opinion, that the Boulets failed to communicate what they were looking for in this.
I imagine it's also a little... That's one of those things when they're looking for something like that. It's a little hard to give that without being like, we want you to do this, to the point where it becomes limiting. Because also, you've got to leave it up to interpretation for the contestants. Otherwise, you're going to get cookie cutter the exact same thing from everybody.
Yeah. And I kind of didn't...
And I think they're aware of that. I don't think it's... I don't know that they're like mad that they didn't get what they wanted, but they're acknowledging that they didn't get what they wanted, but also acknowledging that's just part of reality TV. You can like... throw them hints, but it's ultimately up to them to pick up those hints and grab those nuggets and make gold.
Yeah. I just didn't appreciate that they left it so up to interpretation, and then they seemed irritated by it. And yeah. You know,
I wonder what their brief was.
I know. I really wish we knew that as well.
I like really want to know, like, on any of these reality shows when they have runways, I want to know what the briefs are. Exactly.
Because it makes a difference. Like, there were people who said that for Camp Wanakiki, for example, like the brief that we got was Glampazon, a glamorous yet campy look. But they changed the badge to glamping. So when I did my diner waitress thing, people thought I didn't fit the brief because it was not a camping themed look.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's things like that. But I was curious, did you see any of the eliminated contestants' looks that they posted on Instagram?
I saw Anna. I saw Onyx.
I think Onyx would have won with it. It was
I don't think cool. Jarvis or Saitana have posted their looks.
I mean, you saw Onyx's. Did you like it? I mean, fierce.
It was good. I think Blackberry still would have won over Onyx.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Listeners, it's like, go check out Onyx's Instagram page. They're like this completely green alien. I haven't seen Anna's look, but they have like a full space suit with like bugs attached to it as
where like they get dragonfly like wings.
Yeah, well, no, not dragonfly wings, but like worms inside of like a dick capsule, crickets inside boob capsules.
Oh yeah,
and they were gonna eat them on stage live,
and they do have like dragonfly wings behind them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I personally think they would have won. It like elevated it to a level that was beyond Blackberry's concept, in my opinion. True. But also executed flawlessly.
But I noticed the penis thing before.
It's pretty cool. Which just brings me back to being like, Onyx, fucking love Onyx. And I don't think I was wrong
in choosing them first.
I think she had some really good concepts and she just didn't quite know how to brand herself. Which also brings us to Blackberry, because
that was Anna's. She was like,
Anna.
She had like tubing and like this, like kind of like a businesswoman kind of suit with a skirt, but it had tubing that was attached to a gun, and it was supposed to be like a cum gun.
Oh, shoot your seat. I don't hate it, but I don't think it's as strong as some of the other looks we've seen. Now, I want to know what you think about this critique of Blackberry and them saying that you win the episode, but we don't know who you are. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Like, I just think it's the worst critique you can get, because it's like, how do you all of a sudden brand yourself?
I have mixed feelings about it, because it's like, I think there's a way to be branded and be yourself without it always being a visual thing. You know what I mean?
I do.
Because I think Blackberry is always bringing a level of glamour and a level of camp.
Me too.
To everything that she's doing.
Which is why I was like, what do you mean you don't know her?
But I also did understand their critique of, she seems like somebody that at a theme show can just do whatever the theme is.
And is that bad?
I don't think it's bad.
I don't.
Maybe it's bad for Dracula. I don't know. I'm also not a Boulay brother.
Yeah.
So like, ultimately, it is the Boulay brothers' Dracula.
No, I know, and that's not what I'm saying. I just think,
but like,
I just hate a critique like that. Like, because also, I think she has done a good job of branding herself. Like, from the second she's walked out, she's been camp and she's been glam,
and she's always got that banging silhouette.
And she's always got a great body. So I don't think it's fair for them to say that to her. And I am concerned that she is going to get this edit where it's like, she doesn't know who she is, when yeah, the fuck she does, and we all see it. Like, why are you acting like you can't? It's very strange to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get to these placements where tops are Blackberry is the winner. We have Throb Zombie and Neo Huru X in the top. Safe is Cynthia Dahl. And then our bottom placements are Gotik, Fantasia, and JK. Did you agree or disagree with any of these placements?
I thought it should have just been a top two with Throb and Blackberry.
I wish everyone got critiques. I don't think they even needed to send Cynthia into the cauldron. And they kind of did critique her before. When we move into the cauldron, Cynthia walks in talking to her phone about how she doesn't have a win and how she's scared that makes her look like she's not a threat.
If anything, I probably would have put Orc safe.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Over Cynthia. Yeah. I think you're right. That's just... something about this floor show just was missing.
Yeah.
Overall, like across the board. There's some general talk about who people think is going to go home, Cynthia being safe and congratulating Blackberry on winning. And, you know, we've already talked about that critique of what does it mean for Blackberry, that the Boulets don't know who she is, but at least she has a win now. So
yeah,
hey, good for her to have that under her belt. Maybe she'll have some time to figure it out. Then we move into our extermination, which is experiencing the pain of childbirth.
I'm going to go ahead and say this is probably a 9.5 for me.
Yo, I was thinking the same thing. Like this, like extended pain like that.
Yeah.
That's rough. Like all these other ones, it's like there's scary elements to it, but like I don't want to be in pain like that.
And like childbirth is like one of the most painful things that you can endure.
Yeah. Okay. So I think, are we in agreement? Is this our yeah. tops? Okay.
And what I think we should do at the end of the season, I think we should go through and rank them all. And that way it also forces us to change the ones that are tied together.
Okay.
I think we should each go through and rank them all one through whatever.
So you said 9.5.
Yeah.
I'm saying a 9 out of 10. Oh, yeah. Okay. So whoever loses this thing has to go through the pain of childbirth.
Hi. I've been trying to get pregnant for years, so.
Yeah, I know. We just keep trying. what did you think about the extermination, though? Like the actual like watching of it, like how JK and Fantasia did.
The fact that Israel was pushing down on JK's stomach
makes it worse.
And like,
wait, was that an ugh in a ooh sexy or an ugh in a oh that looks painful?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Fantasia, which even on the pod, Drac had even before Fantasia did it, was like, you've gone through all these body mods,
you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. I thought Fantasia really gave us a show, and she yeah. clearly won this extermination, in my opinion.
Yeah.
She
didn't tap out, but yeah, JK tapped out.
And she was doing her best to show off her goods during that, like letting her tits move around, and then she looks directly in the camera and goes, you can call me Fantasia Royale Mama! And I was like, hell yeah, Fantasia. It was great. which brings us to the death of JK.
I'm sad.
Part 2. I'm a little sad too, but hey, they got to star in 2 of their very own horror films.
And they had one of the top tier ones of the season. I think Jarvis and this one are the best ones so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, me too. I mean, and they got a win. Like, JK really, honestly, if someone has won the season without winning the season, I think it's JK. Like, they got a great edit. They got to experience everything, like, twice even. So, well done. The alien JK walks into a space station looking room and they're experiencing stomach cramps. Oh no. Then suddenly they fall over and an ass burster alien that's aliens inspired bursts from their butt and kills them from behind.
I know that it's aliens inspired and what I'm about to bring up is inspired by aliens, but it also reminded me of that episode of Jimmy Neutron where Carl,
what?
Where Carl gets pregnant by an alien and ends up having the alien baby out of his butt.
I have not seen this. What are you, panty raids are inappropriate for children, but this isn't?
I feel like this episode pops up in my mind all the time. It is like
that's when you knew you were non-binary.
It is. I was like, I want to have a baby out of my butt. This is like the most memorable episode of Jimmy Neutron to me. But like, it ended up being like a face hugger that ended up getting Carl pregnant, and Carl got pregnant in his butt. His butt got bigger and he got a dump truck ass and then had the baby out of his butt.
Like, just like J-Lo.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this. If I could give any critique, because that's what I do as a podcaster, it would be, I sort of think that they should have continued the through line of making it a Rocky Horror inspired death. I think that they do the space themed challenge pretty much every season. So they probably could have fit this somewhere else. But since this was supposed to be a Rocky Horror inspired episode and they really committed to that for pretty much all of it, I think it would have been a nice closing of the book to end it in that way. Whether that be them getting shot with the sonic transducer by the Boulets or something along those lines. You know, maybe they got turned into stone. something like that. I think that would have been more conducive to the episode, but it was a very cool death nonetheless.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to our fantasy fag roster and a reminder that we are at our top six. Is this the top six you expected?
No.
Same. Not at all. Like, it's wild. Like, the only ones that we expected to be here were Blackberry and Fantasia. Or I guess you expected Orc.
I expected Orc.
You just knew I wasn't going to pick them.
I expected Orc. I expected Blackberry. I expected Fantasia.
I just thought Jarvis and Throb's storylines were basically going to be flipped.
Yeah.
Like, it's been really nice to see Throb. Throb thrive. Yeah, that's the word. So that brings us with our fantasy roster. We are tied 3-3. Fawn has Blackberry with one win, Throb with one win, and Orc Gotic with one win, and myself with Fantasia with one win, and Neo with one win, and Cynthia Dahl.
So we're safe. Tied with how many people we have, but I have more wins.
You do have more wins, and JK has gone to pasture, so...
Maybe Cynthia Dahl's next.
Maybe to go or to get a win?
To go.
Oh,
I think she'll either get a win or go next week.
I mean, it does look like Cynthia. Like, without being the only one without a win, who do you think? I mean, this is when things...
She's either going to win or go home.
Yeah.
She's either going to win or go home next week.
This is when things get tough, you know? To be honest, I'm kind of nervous for Orc. I think that some of the critiques they've gotten the last few episodes haven't gotten the same level of praise they did at the beginning. I think we're like, and they need to find a way to break out of their own brand, if that makes sense. I'm afraid Orc may be limiting themselves because they are so creative.
Because it's always a similar color palette with a similar kind of vibe.
And I hope that doesn't sound like hate for him. I've really learned, like, grown to love Orc.
It's all of Orc's look feels like they live in the same universe. It's like Orc is so branded that it sometimes is harder for Orc to branch out.
It's almost like Blackberry is too versatile and Orc is not versatile enough.
Right.
I want to see some glamour from Orc, you know? I think that we haven't seen that tenet from them. And I would be really interested to see.
I think we've seen glamour from Orc, but it's always been mixed with other tenets.
What?
I think the hotel had glamour. I think the hotel look was glamour and like
pilth. I see that, sort of. Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to see more. I hate that anyone has to go. Because I really like everybody. And that brings us to our flop of the week. Listeners, if it's your first time joining us, every single week we have our very favorite segment, which is called Flops of the Week, where we go on a 60-second uninterrupted rant about something in this world that deserves to be flopped against. And I have to say, I'm ready.
You ready?
I am. I've been thinking about this one for a while, and it's time. The world needs to know.
Alrighty. 3, 2, 1, go.
My flop of the week is that the Taco Bell Deluxe box doesn't fit everything that comes in it.
Ready for my salad?
That's right. I thought we were thinking outside the bun. And no, apparently we're thinking outside the box because nothing can fit in it. Every time I get done with rehearsal, I will go by Taco Bell, get my fresco style deluxe cravings box with the nacho fries and all the good stuff that's inside of it. And they just can't seem to make it all fit. I would rather just get a bag that carries all the things that fit. And I mean, a paper bag, you know, recycling is important. Somebody's got to save the planet. But also,
25 seconds.
Yeah. Also, they give you.
Let's get this roasted cookie.
Mm-hmm. And when I go through the drive thru, they always want to just kind of chuck this box at me. And I'm like,
hold. It's chocolate.
It's cheese that's inside of it. So don't get it in my car, please. Don't throw it at me. I just want to take that gently, say thank you for my box deluxe cravings box. But no, they just want it to spill everywhere. And that's why the Taco Bell deluxe cravings box, not fitting everything that comes in it, is my flop of the week.
It sounds like the Taco Bell workers are saying,
I work full-time in drag, and I never have time to do my chores.
They never have time to fit it all in one box.
Well, it's wild to me because it's like, y'all don't have to put it in a box. You choose to put it in a box. Just put it in a bag. Well, yeah. I don't need it in a box. And honestly, the box is like, it's really cumbersome anyway, but I like the deal of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you get a lot of food.
There's been a lot of times that I've ordered the boxes and they just hand me a bag.
Well, that's what I wish they would do. But here consistently, every single time, it's been in the box. And it's like crumbling under its own weight. Like, what? And then it can't fit the sauce when I ask for it.
Sauce.
I know. And I don't want to get lost in the sauce. I just don't want get my $5. You don't get sauce? Mm-mm. You just eat it dry?
It's not dry. Well, I mean, the fries are kind of dry whenever I don't dip my fries. But the fries are so good, they're seasoned as it is.
Sorry, I keep playing footsie with you.
Oh, you're trying to put my toes in your mouth.
Oh, God. you never get the sauce. I was going to ask, like, what level of heat you do.
I don't. I think the food is fine as is and doesn't need the sauce.
You really are so white.
The sauce.
Do you season your food?
Yeah.
Oh. What?
If the food is seasoned properly, you don't always need a sauce.
I don't know that it is a Taco Bell.
The grilled cheese burrito, especially when they were having grilled the bacon one.
Burrito, bacon, grilled cheese. That just sounds like breakfast.
Oh, it was so good.
I might go get that for breakfast today.
It was so good. I don't know if they still have the bacon one, but their fries too are so seasoned.
This might be a little gross. Content warning, everyone. since you need it. Sorry. But I tried the... Normally, I get the mild sauce, right? But I've been trying to build up my heat tolerance recently.
I have, too. I tried blue Takis the other day. I only had two, though.
Oh. Did you ship blue?
No.
Oh. Well, you need to have more, clearly.
Well, I have a low tolerance. I only need two of them. Mark ate the rest.
Well, I ate the mild sauce, and I was like, this doesn't taste like anything. So I got, like, the next level up, which I think is medium. And that was, like... It tasted exactly the same to me. So I was like, fuck it. I'm gonna just go for Diablo. And I got it. I... literally
blast ass.
Could not stop shitting. It was like, have you seen Parks and Rec? You know when like the meme of Chris, I think is his name, and he's looking in the mirror and he just goes, stop pooping. Like that was thanks Taco Bell. So
look, I don't need spicy foods to make me not stop shitting. I'm always on the toilet.
That's what Metamucil is for.
I'm always on the toilet.
Well, now that we've had some scat talk, are you ready for your scat of the week?
Sure. We're making this up as we go.
Oh, okay. This is Fawn's flop of the week. Your time starts now.
My flop of the week is drag.
Blow and poppers.
That's it. Drag. Everyone stop doing drag, including me, including Flapjack, including this podcast. Goodbye.
<laughs> 30 seconds.
Flapjack is so confused. I don't know. I didn't really have a flop of the week.
That's okay. And you don't have to complain about something every
work
day.
Work has been chaotic, but also like it's work. I don't know.
Yeah. You got to work, bitch.
Have a flop.
Well, that's a good thing. Do you have a fawn of the week? Something nice to say?
Crumble Cookies has been popping the fuck off.
Yeah.
I ordered a 4-pack last night, delivery. My fawn of the week goes to Crumble Cookie. That lemon poppy seed.
Oh, there's your timer. And that's why Crumble Cookies is Fawn's flop of the week.
The lemon poppy seed, I could eat 40 of them.
Oh, okay. Lemon poppy seed cookies that crumble cookies.
They change weekly. And this week I ordered a 4-pack last night and I got the chocolate raspberry, the lemon poppy seed, the gingerbread and the caramel shortbread featuring Twix. The lemon poppy seed was the best. The gingerbread was also good. That was second best. The chocolate raspberry was good. The Twix one was my least favorite. I'd get 2 lemon poppy seeds before I got the Twix one again.
I'm glad for you. It's like you had like a flight of cookies.
I did.
Mark, that's the best.
I ordered it and Mark and I like cut them all in half and then like where we're just like, that way we could each have some of each.
Do you eat cookie dough?
Do I eat cookie dough? I haven't in a while, but that is like one of my favorite things.
That's why you have worms.
Yeah. That's why I can't stop shitting.
Okay. All right. So Crumble Cookies is Fawn's actual fawn of the week. And my fawn of the week goes to my husband because last year for Christmas, he got me this beautiful coat is laying right over there on the floor right now. But it's this like green coat. It's very long. I always feel like the most gender euphoria in that coat. But, and I think people see that on me too, because literally every time I wear that, I can't go anywhere without someone being like, I love your coat. Where did you get it? And so it always just makes me feel so good. I walked to work, and yesterday, as I was walking to work, three people rolled down their windows and went, I love your coat. Like, just that's, as I was walking to work.
That's awesome, but also stressful. I hate when people randomly yell at me.
Oh, really?
When I'm walking down the street and somebody rolls down their window and yells at me, whether it's positive or negative, and I do that look around of like, what the fuck? Yeah.
I don't like it if it's something mean or if it's like a gross cat call. Like, I've had that happen to me in drag before.
But, hey, good looking.
Uh-huh. And then
you want to come over to my place?
And I'm usually like, what would your mother say? But if they're giving me like a genuine compliment, like, I love your coat, like, I always love it.
I'm gonna start trying to be wherever you are walking, and I'm just gonna like drive by and yell, hey, faggot.
Oh, it made me feel like I'm at home again. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening to another episode of Flapping and Fawning. Thanks for listening to Flapping and Fawning.
Music by Elliot Nass.
Promotional art by Danny Lee.
Hosts are Flapjack.
Oh, hey, that's me.
And I'm Fawn. You can follow me on Instagram at fawn.fawn.fawn.
And you can follow me over at Instagram as well. And pretty much any other social media platform at flapjacqueline, FLAPJACQUELINE.
Connect with us on social media on Instagram at Flapping and Fawning Pod and on Twitter at Flap and Fawn Pod.
Oh, and make sure you check out the links in our bio to buy some merch. You can also connect with us via Gmail at flappingandfawningpod@gmail.com. See you next time.
Bye.
Ta-ta.